Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, truth is our bitch. And this is what it is, you know. That's about as much as we can say. I wish I had more ways of describing the show, but our show is changing rapidly these days. We're going from one thing to another thing to another thing. And maybe that's an example of the nervous nature I have.
Yeah, it's more of you had to change it.
Yes, I don't want to get too deeply into the reasons why we've had to change the show, if you will. I don't think the show is that much different.
Well, I don't even know what you're talking. When you say change the show, I don't understand that.
Just the fact that the show used to take lots and lots of phone calls and doesn't anymore. And there's reasons for that, which we will not get into. But if you listen to our podcast, you'll sort of see an example of the way the show was. Here is what we are today, and I'm happy with all of it. I don't care. Now,
well, as long as you're happy with all of it, that's the most important thing. Because if you said that you were not happy, that would include not being happy with me, and that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem. What do you mean that's a problem?
Well, you think you run it? You think you run?
Would you be quiet?
Why is that a problem?
That would be a problem, because then you'd have to deal with Frank.
Oh, a lawyer.
Yeah, see, I knew that.
Would you shut up? No. Not in the sense that you're thinking, but...
A lawyer she's threatening me with. If I were to fire you, or if I were to change the show so you were not a part of this, you'd get Frank on me, huh?
Not yet. Would you watch how you say that, Phil? I know what you mean, but these two, and they know what you mean, but they love to exploit those lapses.
Yes.
What do you mean, lapses?
When you said, get Frank on you.
Oh, come on.
Why do you think he's laughing?
Look, there's no need to be threatening me with any lawyers, okay, Margaret? We're not doing anything but doing the show the way we're doing the show. You're here, they're here. And what do you mean, get Frank on me, and he's laughing? You're the one that creates these problems every day, man. As soon as we start things, you're the one that creates the problem.
When I said get Frank, you said get Frank on you, didn't you?
Margaret, yes, I did. But I didn't mean it in a sexual way.
Yeah, why do you think it's always sexual?
What did you say?
Why do you think it's always sexual?
Why do I think you're a homosexual?
No, why do you think it's always sexual?
I don't think it's always sexual.
Well, you know, I beg to differ.
Yeah, I beg to differ, too. A lot of time, you know...
Excuse me, you know, just because you agree with him doesn't mean Phil gets to have you three gang up on me. Because now it does get... Not sexual, but it is informed by that. You see?
Some days I just wonder whether you're, you know, all here.
What does that mean?
The three of us ganging up on you is not sexual, but it's informed by that. Would you mind telling my audience what that means?
You know what? They already know, Phil. Don't push your luck, okay?
No. No, I'm not pushing my luck. Are you trying to tell me that the three of us disagreeing with you constitutes the three of us ganging up on you, and that's informed by a sexuality?
To a degree. I think the women out there know what I'm talking about. I'm done talking about this.
Margaret.
I'm done talking about this.
Yeah, see, every time you win an argument against her, that's what she does.
I'm done.
All right, fine, you're done talking about it. So now that I know, every time that the three of us...
I'm done talking about it.
Yeah, but just doesn't mean that it's informed by the sex.
Would you listen to the way he sputters and gibbers? Are you going to do anything about that, or is it just something that will constitute the day-to-day around here?
All right, he's doing fine, and thank you, Margaret, for your opinion. I got to get going with the show here, okay? I was going to say they pay me to do a show, but actually I'm doing this for free. However, I'm sure someday. Now... Quitting smoking prolongs life at any age. How about that for a load of old crap?
You serious?
No, I'm just kidding around. Of course it does. Of course, I don't know whether it prolongs your age to the extent that this article tells us it does. Now, the reason why I'm talking about smoking is because it's the Great American Smokeout one of these days. Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it's today. November 15th. Why is there so much talk about cigarette smoking?
Because they're trying to get people to quit.
I know, but they're talking. There's all kinds of smoking news in the news. And November 15th was the Great American Smokeout. What the hell? There's like 50 million articles about smoking. Well, let me just say this. There is a new article on smoking having to do with how long it prolongs your life. Now, this is according to, quote, researchers, and I don't mean to sound cynical, but, you know, every time I hear about researchers, you know, you can take it with a grain of salt sometimes.
What does that mean, anyway, take it on a grain of salt?
It just means you don't necessarily have to believe it. I mean, it means talk is cheap, you know, and even research sometimes seems to be cheap because there's lots of research that's been done, and sometimes it's done by some really screwy institutions. Like, I've heard people say that every time you get a piece of research in the news, like if you hear about, well, researchers tell us, and then you find out where the research was done, it was done in England and was done at some, and I don't mean anything against British people, or British scientists, but that's, I'm gonna, just telling you right now, if you're watching us or listening to us in Great Britain, this isn't my opinion, but a lot of the people here, they don't think you guys have got your, I'm kidding. Seriously, the talk is that British universities have got a lot of wacky guys, and they come up with all kinds of screwball stuff.
Well, so what do you think? You say you're kidding.
I don't necessarily disagree with that. I don't agree with it. I don't know who does the good research. I guess we'd have to track it better than we do. I don't do that. I don't know how many of us say, wow, I read about that last year, and it turns out that it's true. And I remember a guy wrote an article about that, you know. Anyway, it says here, it's never too late to quit smoking. Researchers have new data to prove it, even at the age of 64. Kicking the habit can add 4 years to a person's life. Now, apparently, according to this, if you quit smoking after the age of 64, it ain't going to do diddly squat.
It's not going to add no use. Yeah, but it could add years. Think about it. You quit smoking at like 70 and it adds years. You could just go on and on and on and on, you know?
What?
In other words, just try to follow me here, okay?
We're following, bud. Go.
If you quit smoking at 70, say, and add 4 years, now you're 74, right?
Well, not necessarily if you're going to die that year.
No, but just say you're going to die at 75, now you're 79.
Okay.
Then you quit smoking. You already did quit smoking.
Yeah, that's what I tried to tell him before the show.
What?
I tried to tell him. He said if you just keep on quitting smoking, you'll live forever.
That's brilliant, bud.
Well,
are you trying to tell me that the two of you argued about this before the show, that if you keep on quitting smoking, you'll be immortal?
Yeah.
He said you'd be immortal if you quit, and I said you could only quit smoking one time.
I didn't think of it that way.
Wow, bud.
Well.
That's pretty thick, man. That's pretty dim, dude. If you keep on quitting smoking, you'll be immortal. You can quit smoking one time. Now, maybe if there was a whole bunch of nasty habits that people had, and you could just quit them one at a time, and they would add years. Like, for instance, let's just say I quit smoking, that adds 4 years. Now let's say I cut all the dairy products out of my life, that adds a year. There's 5 years. Now let's say I quit...
Eating.
Let's say I quit eating. That... What do you mean, quit eating?
Well, certain things. You said dairy products. What else?
Well, let's say I quit eating barbecued... say I quit eating meat. Is that going to add any years to my life or not?
It should. I would think it would. Meat is a putrefying force. And if you imagine eating meat and then it stinks, it sits inside of you and rots. That's what it does. It rots and stinks. And this is why a lot of meat eaters, people that eat meat, stink and continue to stink all the live long...
What are you laughing at?
I was thinking of a song, All the Live Long Day. But...
Yeah, okay. So anyway, sure. You know who really stinks? Vegetarians.
How dare you?
No, I'm sorry.
That's true, Ms. Gray.
How dare you? I'm a vegetarian. I know a great many vegetarians. We are pure. Our systems are pure, Phil. Don't you understand?
No, don't you understand? Vegetarians reek, okay? First of all, they're flatulent.
I beg your pardon.
That happens to be a fact. People that do nothing but eat fruits and vegetables are busting freaking gas all the time. It is funky. And all that garlic they eat. Now, I'm not saying you, Margaret, although you do take
a lot of trips to the bathroom, Miss Gray.
That has nothing to do with my vegetarianisms. Or veganism is what I meant.
Your vegetarianisms?
I said veganisms. That has nothing to do with it.
Well, I don't mean to bring up Hitler.
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, Hitler was a vegetarian.
Did Hitler fart?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. That happens to be a historic fact.
Get out of here.
I'm telling you the truth.
So good. So what you've done is you've brought up Hitler, and now these two are going to giggle about him farting for the rest of the show.
Gotta admit, it's pretty funny.
Hold on. Let's take a break. We'll be back with the Great American Smokeout, vegetarians, Hitler, and the gas problem he had. And who knows, maybe we'll make it to the bottom of the hour and then we'll think of something else to do. Welcome to the show. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. You can be watching our show tonight. And we're testing our live streaming video for iPad and iPhone tomorrow morning. And we are that close to bringing our brand new website live. It's all part of the Phil Henry Show experience. We'll be right back.
Truth is our
so
bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
And you're telling me that Hitler busted ass.
I didn't say bust ass.
Well, I did.
Phil Henry Show.
What are you spitting?
Sorry, folks. I'm spitting out coffee grounds from my Turkish coffee. The problem is I make Turkish coffee, and the problem with that is there's coffee grounds in the Turkish coffee, and the problem with that is sometimes they're not all absorbed. Ideally, your Turkish coffee should be that the grounds have settled to the bottom of the cup, and so that you have nothing but that beautiful coffee. At the top of the cup, because I'll tell you, it's the best cup of coffee I've ever had in my life. My Turkish coffee. By the way, a shout out to the guys at Bang Zoom, not because of anything I did yesterday. As I mentioned, on my website, Facebook, and wherever else I could humiliate myself.
This is ridiculous.
Shut up, will you, bud?
It's ridiculous.
Big deal, it's ridiculous. It's your fault.
Why is it my fault?
Didn't you tell me that I had a recording session? What happened was, folks, make a long story short.
No.
Yeah, you did. I'm working on a new TV animated series called Rick and Morty. And I arrived yesterday for my record session. Only I got the wrong day. It's next week.
Are you kidding me? Is that why your picture was on your website with that ridiculous look on your face?
Yes, that's why, because I'm staring up at the thing and I'm going, why am I here? I should be a week later, so I drove all the hell. And it's a good thing, too, because I was in the worst mood when I got there. I used GPS. I'm going to North Hollywood. All right, fine, great, swell. I know how to get there. I take a freeway and I get off on a street and I go to this place. But what do? Well, because I'm a lazy jackball and I figure I'd get my money's worth. Who knows what my problem is? I entered into GPS. Three routes. And I said, well, I'll take the shortest, meaning the time-saving one. Okay, fine. And I plugged that one in. So it takes me out the 101 freeway. I'm going from the north to the south, and I reach a point where it tells me to get off on Reseda or some street, I forget what.
Well, that's out in the valley.
Yes, I know.
What in the name of God are you getting off in the valley?
Margaret, hold on. I don't know.
Well, anyone would know, anyone with a fully developed brain. Mark,
would you hold up? Well, what do you mean?
Yeah, don't get off the valley. You gotta go down to North Hollywood.
Spit it out, man.
Now, what's your problem, man? I ain't got a problem.
All right, so you don't get off in the valley.
And, you know, I know you don't like this. Would you please watch how you say that? Because they turn it into sexual.
What?
Get off in the valley.
This is great.
Come on, Margaret. You know, not everything is...
To these two.
No. Ms. Gray, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to try to find out what the problem is here. You got off in the valley. You got off on Reseda.
Now, let me just say it, okay? I do it. I was there. You guys weren't. I took some stupid surface street for 8 miles. I'm like, what the hell is this? By that point, it was too late. I wasn't going to... What am I going to do? Get back up on the freeway and then... I'm just sailing down this bloody surface street for 8 freaking miles from the valley into North Hollywood. I finally turn the corner. I get down to the thing. I hit the thing. I turn into the thing. They were very nice, very sweet. How you doing, Phil? Great. And listen, and finally one of the producers comes up, or one of the assistants says, Phil? I said, yeah. He said, are you sure? I said, yeah, I'm working on Rick and Morty. No, I know. I think your session's next week. And I said, what's the date today? He goes, today's the 23rd. Oh.
So you must have felt like a handful of that real runny, wet, you know.
Yeah, cow pie.
Not really. That wasn't the...
You didn't
feel like that?
No, that's not the first thing that came. I felt like a handful of what?
You know those freshly dropped cow pies? Real...
Yeah, put your hand in it.
I've never put... Oh, boy.
Phil, don't start pretending you're better than people.
Wait a minute. Are you sticking your hands in the cow dung? Is that what you're...
I'm an old farm girl. I don't know about these two.
Yeah, you did when we get the... Well, I shouldn't say the psilocybin, though.
Yeah.
You're a farm girl, and you guys were looking for psilocybin mushrooms. Okay, well, here's the deal. No, I have not ever put my hand down deep into a runny, wet cow pie. What are you talking about? And that isn't how I felt.
Well, what? Did you feel better than everyone?
No, I didn't come out of there feeling better than everyone. I'm just thinking your descriptions and your comparisons are way off. I felt like an idiot. I got in my car and I drove home. That's about what I felt like. You know. So, why did I bring all of that up? I brought it up to talk about something. I forget what. All right. Anyway, smoking, and we were talking about immortality, and we were talking about... Well, I tell you what. Dr. Ron Tarner is with us for... even though we're not talking about the great smoke-off, necessarily, we are talking about some of this smoking news. We'll get Dr. Ron Tarner on the line with us from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. And Dr. Tarner is... joining us by, is he on line two or three?
Yeah, on line three, his car.
Okay, it's a car phone. We got two, we got a mobile line, and we have, hey, Dr. Tarner, good to talk with you.
Bill, how are you?
Good. Cigarette smoke, did you ever smoke?
Well, no, I did not smoke, Phil. I smoked a pipe, I didn't smoke cigarettes. I was a pipe smoker, and I smoked the pipe because my father smoked the pipe, and I was very impressed with that. And, but I quickly... stopped smoking a pipe for reasons that I guess we could get into, or maybe you don't want me to get into it, but so I don't smoke at all.
You stopped smoking a pipe for health reasons? No?
No, I didn't stop smoking a pipe for health reasons because I always knew how to smoke. I knew how long to smoke. I knew the amount of smoke to take into my lungs. So it was never a health consideration for me.
Wait, can I, let me interrupt you. Are you telling me there's a way to smoke where you won't, it won't be injurious?
That's very interesting, Dr. Tarner. What is that?
Well, there is a way to smoke where it will not be injurious, Phil, but it takes a very disciplined mind. You have to be able to calculate, do a little math, and understand just how much material you're actually inhaling, parts per square centimeter, and so forth. And that, I'm able to do that. No one that I know can, other than other scientists that smoke and are interested in this. So I could get into a description, but I think you're going to find it very dry.
No, I never knew it was possible for anybody, even if you're a scientist, to know how to smoke without it hurting you.
Well, you have to know exactly how much smoke to take in to your lungs, how much smoke to take into the oral cavity, and you also have to know how often to smoke, what kind of tobacco, so on and so forth. And it was my feeling that after I did these calculations, that smoking a pipe was the best for me. It was unfortunate that I saw what I saw because there was embarrassment, and I could go into the story.
No, I want to hear the story, but you didn't quit smoking a pipe because it was injurious to your health. You quit for another reason.
That is correct, yes.
Because you feel, and I don't want to belabor this, could you still be smoking today and it wouldn't be injurious to your health?
Yes. But again, Phil, you have to be intelligent enough to understand how to calculate in your own mind the amount of material, the danger physiology, to the physiognomy and so forth, danger to your biochemistry. It's quite a feat, and I would not recommend any lay people do it. I'm able to do it.
Okay, so then why did you quit?
Well, I quit smoking because I was smoking a pipe, and I realized very quickly that there was some kind of a con game being run by Dr. Hawking, you know, Stephen Hawking, who I've had issues with.
Uh-huh.
Well, I just heard you say, uh-huh. Is this going to be boring?
No. I, when you and I talk, there's an awful lot of Stephen Hawking involved in the conversation.
There's an awful lot of Stephen Hawking involved in the car. Well, I could hang up if you want.
No, no, hang on. We'll get back to Dr. Ron Tarner on why he quit smoking. He only smoked a pipe, and he didn't quit smoking because it was injurious to his health. He quit smoking for other reasons having to do with Dr. Stephen Hawking. So let's find out when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Dr. Stephen Hawking is the one in the hover-round.
It's not a hover-round. It's his wheelchair.
Yeah, it is a hover-round.
No, it's not.
Looks like one.
Phil Henry.
Not a hover around, man. It's not a hover around. Not a...
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Forgot to mention, you know this iPokeSmart guy that I mentioned on the show? He is an individual who has a problem with me because I didn't hire him. He has stalked me literally for like 3-4 years and went so far as to target my home, threatened a member of my family. And so I have openly put a bounty. And those of you who haunt the internet and know the individual I'm talking about, this iPokeSmart, who I think thought that he was sort of some kind of a funny guy. What I find is that he's you know, considered not in very high regard by people. But I have a different agenda for him. I don't really care. I want to know who he is. I want to know where he lives. And I have put a cash bounty to anyone that provides his name and his whereabouts to me. And I verify this through law enforcement and through my attorney. I will pay you a large amount of money. So we want to make sure that that's out there. We are also working ourselves to locate this individual who very quickly disappeared from Twitter and other places when the word got out there. Now, every single solitary night he watches me on this telecast, on this videocast that we do, every single solitary night, most likely he calls, I don't know. But he's got a serious sociopathic nature because I didn't hire him. You know how some of these guys think they're geniuses?
Right.
Well, he, I guess, thinks he's some genius. It's a good thing I didn't because from what I've been able to gather, his work is terrible. He doesn't know any more about production than you do, bud.
I know more.
Possibly. So that is, again, the offer, a cash bounty.
When you say bounty, though, people think you want him hurt.
I don't care.
Well, that's going to get you in trouble.
No, who am I threatening? What's his name?
Well, his name...
He's got a name.
Well, if he's got a name, you tell me what his name is. I'm not threatening anybody. I'm threatening this guy, this person. I'm saying, if I could say right now, I hope somebody takes the guy out. And I hope they do.
Phil, you have to be careful.
What am I being careful with? He's not a real... There's no real name there. There may be some people who know who he is. There may be some people who find out who he is. But think about it. If he got killed tomorrow, the world wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. It's too bad, too, because I would be very happy. But fact is, it's a cash bounty. You can interpret that any way you want. I would personally just like his name and his whereabouts. And I'm not going to let this go away. This is going to go on and on until I find out the name. And here's something, iPokeSmart, you can do for yourself. Just tell me who you are. Tell me who you are. We'll sit down. I'll figure out what your problem is. And if you make me, if you satisfy me as to your intentions, maybe you'll be able to walk away and no harm done. Maybe. Okay, so there's a little out for you there. You and I sit down face to face, and I'll find out what your problem is, because I'll bet you it's a really interesting story. And then if I am satisfied, and only if I'm satisfied, then maybe you get to get up and walk away, no harm done. Maybe. Now that's the only way that you're going to be able to get out of this. Otherwise, I'm going to find out who you are sooner or later.
I think you're going to be in very serious trouble with law enforcement.
Well, you know what? I don't care. How about that?
You don't care? You go to jail, you don't care?
No, I don't care. You know, I don't think I will be, though. Because I am not, as I said, I don't know, I haven't mentioned anybody's name. You know, this cuts both ways, this whole anonymity thing. You know, you can do whatever you want if you're anonymous. Well, guess what? I can threaten you with anything I want if you're anonymous. You know, if you have an online persona or an online ID or an online, you know, presence, and I say, like that Violent Acres guy, remember that guy? He was this guy that was supposedly the single most disgusting troll in the history of the internet, and they outed him. They found out who he was. He's some slob that lives in Dallas with a... Then he wanted everybody to feel sorry for him because he's got a wife that's on disability, some jazz. But if, while he was just Violent Acres, if I would have said something along the lines of, I hope someone finds that guy and puts a barrel of a gun in his mouth and just keeps on squeezing the trigger till it's empty, who am I threatening?
You're threatening the man that has the wife.
Who? What? I don't know. How did I know? All I know is there's a guy named Violent Acres. So it's not even a real guy, see? So if you're anonymous, you know. So there is my offer, my stated position. It does not change. It will not change. And the only thing that I, Pokesmaw, can hope for is that I say, you know, he and I sit down face to face. Because he says I almost hired him, so I must have met him. Because I, when if I was doing any kind of a job screening process, except for one that I can think of, I met everybody that I was, you know, interested in hiring. Maybe I didn't even get around to this slob's resume because he sucked that bad with a resume.
That's not possible, man. But he said that you almost hired him.
I'll bet you he sent a resume in and I just didn't even look at it. Maybe I wiped with it. Who knows? But if I met the guy, I guarantee you this, if I met the guy and I meet him again, I'll remember him. Because any weird ass that I interviewed, I kept a mental note of. And you can guarantee, I'll bet you money that this guy comes across in person as really dysfunctional. All right. Quitting smoking at any age. We're going to get Dr. Ron Tarner back on the line with us. Dr. Tarner, I'm sorry you had to hear that.
Well, I'm very sorry that you're experiencing these problems, Phil. Is there anything that I could do to help?
No. It's perfectly fine, and I'm sorry that, again, I'm sorry that we took the time that we did. We're talking to Dr. Tarner here about smoking. You were a smoker, Dr. Tarner. Now, you have stated that you could smoke, and it wouldn't injure your health, but that's because you're intelligent enough to know how to smoke.
Yes, well, by that I bet knowing how much of the smoke to take in, how much of the smoke, how long I should smoke, how often I should smoke. I could do the basic math, the basic mathematical calculations, and I can smoke, and it's not going to hurt me, yeah.
Dr. Tarner, this is Margaret Gray. Why are there not more doctors doing this? This is the question.
Yeah, in other words, if you can do it, are there other scientists?
I imagine there are, but I can only tell you it's not something that's necessarily a major breakthrough. It's not any major news or anything. It's just the way that I've chosen to deal with smoking when I smoke. But I quit smoking not for the reasons of health. I quit smoking because Dr. Stephen Hawking at that time, I had gotten to know him, and his arterial lateral sclerosis had begun.
This Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yes, Lou Gehrig's disease. But he was smoking a pipe. Now, he did not smoke the pipe necessarily, but he used it as a prop. And my irritation with him had started because I'd heard about the jokes that he'd been writing.
Now, just for the little history, Dr. Tarner's talking about Stephen Hawking, the Nobel Prize-winning scientist and a very respected scientist who was writing jokes for some joke competition?
On the board, it was a climate change and climate control panel. Those of us that were consulting NASA at the time, and we had an informal exchange of jokes by way of email. And Dr. Hawking would send around these Polish jokes and these Polish jokes and Korean jokes, and you know, why does a Japanese guy have buck teeth? That kind of thing.
So you were offended by this.
Yes, I was, and
yeah, but Dr. Tarner, this is Bud Dickman. You know very well he also won a joke competition with that one about the buck teeth.
Yeah, let me tell you something, Bud. You should be grateful that I even listened to you, because me, a scientist, and you, a guy with a plate in his head, and you and I are having a conversation like we're equals, I think is wrong.
That's not necessary, Doc. He's making a point, and I think you need to address it. Didn't the competition, was it not won by that buck tooth joke?
I don't know, Phil. I didn't. I was. Do I look like a guy that judges? Do I look like a guy that judges joke contests?
Well, you know, don't ask a question if you don't want the answer.
Very good, Margaret. And I've got a few things I can tell people about you.
No, you don't. You don't know anything about me.
Well, yes, I do.
No, you do not.
All right, can we hold on? I'm not interested in any kind of a, you know, a match here between the two of you. All I want to know is Stephen Hawking, after you got to know him, you knew that he didn't smoke a pipe, but he used a pipe, did you say, as a prop?
Yes. Stephen Hawking would have this pipe hanging out of his mouth. And he had, at that time, I would say, that was probably his most fertile period in terms of attracting women. On any given day, you saw three or four of them pushing that motorized, you know, that looked like a motorized shopping cart. That's what I called it.
What motorized show? What is that?
Is it the wheelchair that he's in?
Yeah, okay. But to me, it looked like a motorized Bonds shopping cart that's sitting out in the middle of a parking lot. I'm sorry. Excuse me for a bit. All right, so there he is.
All right, so Stephen Hawking has a pipe hanging out of his mouth that he didn't necessarily light, but you think that that got him women?
No, I don't think. I know. And the other aspect of this, he had the pipe. He wasn't able to take the pipe out of his mouth. Excuse me, I've got a little bit of a cold. He had one of his girlfriends do it.
So he's got these women that are pushing him around in the motorized shopping cart that you call it, and the girlfriends are taking the pipe out of his mouth and putting it back in his mouth, even though it isn't lit.
That is correct, yes. Now, the reason why I resent him for this...
Do you need to get a glass of water?
If you don't mind, Phil.
Not at all. Go ahead.
Excuse me.
We're talking to Dr. Ron Turner. Dr. Turner is talking about smoking and how he quit. Has got nothing to do with you or me. He wasn't addicted. He quit because Stephen Hawking smoked a pipe and Dr. Turner decided to stop smoking. The only thing he smoked... It was a pipe, right, Doc?
Yes, I smoked a pipe. I didn't smoke cigarettes or cigars. I quit smoking a pipe when I saw Hawking. Well, I quit smoking the pipe when I wasn't getting the same results as Hawking, and it was frustrating. I would light the pipe. I'd stand leaning against the wall. I did everything that you would find, for instance, recommended in Esquire or Playboy.
Well, you were getting your advice on pipe smoking from Playboy. What were they saying?
They said to wear the... They said wear a tweed jacket and lean against something.
Lean a tweed jacket?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, you could call me silly if you want, but that was state-of-the-art advice.
State-of-the-art advice on what?
On smoking a pipe and meeting women.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry, Dr. Turner. I understand now. I wasn't quite understanding. You were smoking the pipe to meet women.
Yes.
All right, well, don't get frustrated, Doc, okay? We don't know what you're talking about. You were smoking a pipe because you saw Hawking smoke the pipe. We thought it was because you admire... But I know you don't admire him, okay?
Well, yes, exactly, I don't admire him. So why do you think I smoke in the pipe? Because I admire the guy? Because I got to wind up parked in a shopping cart with some beautiful woman taking a pipe and putting it in and out of my mouth, and that's about all I get to... I could well imagine what Hawking had being put in and out of his mouth later on.
Well... What kind of a comment?
What does that mean?
Oh, come on, will you? He's got a beautiful buxom woman.
All right, okay. Look, we're going to take another break.
Yeah, okay, let's take another break. And I never will get around to defending myself.
No, we'll get around to defending you, Dr. Turner, in a moment. We're talking about smoking, folks, and why it's bad for you. Dr. Ron Turner, of course, it wasn't bad for him because he knew exactly how to smoke so it wouldn't hurt him. He smoked a pipe, and he gave up smoking the pipe when he didn't have the same results picking up women that Dr. Stephen Hawking had. Even though Hawking didn't really smoke the pipe, it was never lit, and he had some beautiful buxom woman putting it in his mouth and taking...
Go ahead and laugh, Phil. I think it is sexist and disgusting.
Well, all right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I tell my story, Henry. You don't tell my story. You butcher up.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Ron Turner is with us as we talk about smoking. Ron was a pipe smoker.
If we just bring this to the present time.
I think that's better, Ron, so that people who are just tuning in.
All right, that's fine.
Okay. You smoked a pipe at one time, and you gave up smoking that pipe. You didn't necessarily give up smoking the pipe for health reasons.
No, I gave up smoking the pipe because I had made a very bad decision. I had trusted the wrong person. I had made a bit of a fool of myself. I had financial problems, and it really was just a bad year for me. And
you had these financial problems as the result of smoking the pipe?
I did, yes. And that was, as I was telling Margaret, I had invested in... In those days, we're talking about the 90s, you're not going to get a good tweed sports jacket for under a quality tweed sports jacket for under $500. And I had purchased probably a half a dozen, and it cost a lot of money.
Now, you purchased a half a dozen tweed jackets because that's the jacket you're supposed to wear when you smoke a pipe?
See, that was what you told me.
No, that's not what you're supposed to. You could wear whatever. I felt that was the jacket to wear because I had seen a lot of guys that smoke pipes wear tweed jackets. The whole purpose of this, and again, it's embarrassing. The whole purpose of this...
was to pick up women.
I didn't say pick up women.
I think that's a little crude. To meet women?
Yes, to meet women.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to go any further. What does that okay mean? Do you believe me or don't you?
Yes, I believe you. I believe you.
Well, that doesn't... I'm not convinced.
He does, Dr. Tarner. Phil is a very contrary man. He tries to start arguments.
I'm not trying to start an argument.
Well, Phil, do you believe me or don't you?
I believe that you were wanted to meet women and not pick them up. But you said, okay...
No. No buts to it. Do you believe me or don't you?
Yes, I believe you, sir.
What's your question?
My question is, you said you were leaning against a wall with a tweed jacket and a pipe. That was the state-of-the-art advice on how to pick up women. How to meet women.
Yeah, it's the baby. I almost hung up.
Okay, how to meet women while you're smoking a pipe.
All right, that was state-of-the-art. And Hugh Hefner, no less a personage than Hugh Hefner, who runs the Playboy magazine empire... And when we talk about a financial empire with Hefner, we're talking about a man that controlled not only billions of dollars, but the lives of some of the most beautiful women in the history of the world. Hugh Hefner. And all I wanted to do was meet one of them. I put on a tweed jacket. I lean against a cigarette machine in a downtown bar with a pipe. Big deal. And what do you think happens? Nothing. I get back to the hotel, and there's Hawking with one of the most gorgeous blondes you ever saw in your life. Putting a pipe in and out of his mouth like she's one of these Disneyland robots. And there's Hawking with that. And Hawking looked at me, and don't ever believe for a minute that he's paralyzed. Don't ever believe that for a minute.
Well, what do you mean, don't believe it for a minute?
I mean he is not completely paralyzed, because every time I've seen that guy, he looks at me and winks. And I think you all know...
Wait a minute, that Dr. Stephen Hawking can't move a muscle.
Is that right? Well, think again, brain surgeon.
Let's not be insulting, okay?
Well, I don't want to hear him in the peanut gallery with... What does he know? He doesn't know anything. Stephen Hawking winks at me.
So you're saying that Stephen Hawking is mocking you?
Yes.
All right, well, and as a result of all of that...
Well, you know, every time I'm on your show, you only... And as a result of all of that, which sounds like you think that... And thank you, Dr. Tarner, for coming on the show and weaving another fairy tale.
No, I'm not. No, that's not it. I believe what you're saying, Dr. Tarner, but I don't believe that it's as profound an experience as you say, because I don't think you should let these things bother you as much as they do. You've had a problem with Stephen Hawking and the women that you think he knows for a long time.
No, not think. I know he knows them. I know he knows them.
Well, I have to say, Phil, speaking as a woman, there is an allure there.
Yeah, see? You see? God! God!
You sound a little girlish there.
I don't care.
When you went, God!
I didn't go, God! I said, God! Because it's frustrating that a guy in a renovated shopping cart...
You keep with this shopping cart thing. You can keep on all you want.
Phil?
No, you can keep on all you want, but the man is in a very expensive wheelchair. It's got a lot of bells and whistles.
you know.
Well, I'll bet it does have bells and whistles. The kind of guy he is, I bet you he's got a bell and a whistle on it. In fact, I know for a fact he does because I talked to Jerry Wetzel, who is one of the endocrinologists over at the at research where we were working at Maryland Research, and he heard a bell and a whistle. He heard some kind of a stupid woo, something like I don't know what it was. And he turns around and there's Hawking with that crap-eating grin that he has permanently affixed to his face because that's how they stretch his mouth in the morning.
All right. I think we have to go now.
Okay, because I've been so offensive. Let me just say to your audience, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to be cruel. I'm just telling you, this is Hawking's life, and this is mine. I'm on Phil's show right now talking about how I quit smoking a pipe because I admired Stephen Hawking, and I smoked a pipe, and I didn't get any women. And Stephen Hawking is off giving a speech in front of thousands of people at a banquet, and I'm on Phil's show. What is it? Does that tell you anything?
Yes, it tells me that you've got a real...
You've got a life problem, a life condition problem.
There you go. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Ron Tarner.
That guy needs help.
Well, obviously he needs help, but I think he needs help in the right way.
What help does he need other than to get his ego out of the way about Stephen Hawking? We'll be back next hour, world famous Phil Henry Show with more interesting and exciting stuff.
Phil Henry.